At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
With what we have today, well, obviously there's far more technology, not really necessarily used in this case. We have Ring doorbell cameras, all these things that should have been looked at that weren't. But we're going to go back and we're going to rely on some of these testimonies from people that are likely not going to be the most accurate. Why is it that memory is so flawed? Obviously it was used forever as, you know, this is, you know, the golden rule. It's obviously not so much anymore. But what is it? What are our brains actually doing when we are recalling something and we're trying to accurately then convey that to someone that's asking? And how dramatically different can that recollection be from reality?
It's dramatic. And we've learned so much more about the brain in the last even 10 years, but certainly in the last 20 years. We used to think that it was like you saw an event happen and then it was like a digital recording or video camera recording this event and storing it away in a file in your head. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't work that way. Our brains are storytelling machines, and we take perceptions, which often perceptions can be flawed, and our minds create stories about what we think happened. And this is why people can be so suggestible, and a lot of memory research has been done, telling people as children a story that something happened, and then you come back to them 5 years later and say, did this ever happen? And they tell it to you as if it was real. Mm-hmm. It's also why you'll see people raised in the same home, you know, siblings by the same parents, but they'll each have entirely different representations of their upbringing and the things that they did as children. They remember things differently. They view their parents differently. And so memory is incredibly fallible. And it just makes it, in court cases, criminal issues, highly problematic. People will manufacture things, and it's not even intentional. It's just the way the brain does it.
A reference I guess I can make is sometimes you look at a picture from childhood and you clearly could not have remembered the situation, especially when you're super, super young. But sometimes you go, oh yeah, I totally remember that. Are we truly remembering that? Or is it exactly what you said? It's the data that we have in front of us. And then our brain is conjuring this up saying, oh yes, of course you do. But it's all just based on this little piece of information, which is the picture that then fills in the blanks.
Yeah, I can swear my earliest memory was when I was 15 months old and I was hospitalized for anemia for a few days. And my mother told me when I was a little girl, oh, back when you were in the hospital, it was so scary. And now I swear I can remember that. Mm-hmm. Is that real, or is that just a story because I was told a story and so my brain has created these, because I have visual images about it? I don't have any way of knowing, but I wouldn't take that memory into a court case and give testimony on it.
What about blocking out memories? I mean, this was obviously a traumatic event for John O'Keefe as he died. But if you were drunk, you hit somebody, let's just assume she did hit him and maybe didn't realize it. Could it also be a case of where, oh my God, it was so traumatic that someone blocks that out? You hear it quite a bit. You know, I blocked out this memory. It was traumatic, this or that. What is our brain doing in situations like that where literally, you know, we were there, we were cognizant of it, but now the recollection is really gone, know, and can that be brought back in any sort of accurate way?
That's a really controversial area, you know, because there has been so much bad therapy, we'll say, in decades past with false memory syndrome and people making suggestions to people like, the big one was the satanic panic in the 80s, about satanic ritual abuse and therapists, some with paranoia themselves who had some problems, were making suggestions to people that if you have X, Y, and Z symptoms, that means you were sexually molested or ritually abused by Satanists. And then people would create memories. And, there were lawsuits over this. And fortunately, a lot of bad therapists lost their licenses, which, should have happened. But it's speculative in many ways. We do know that in certain events, when people are very overwhelmed with stimuli and something awful has happened in the environment, it's just as if the thinking brain shuts down and the emotional brain is still there, but they lose that ability to remember it. Mm-hmm. In this case, Karen was certainly in a blackout, and we do know people can function in blackouts sometimes for hours, drive around in their cars, go to bars, hang out with friends. I had an old friend who, he would stand upright. He didn't, wave as he walked. He seemed perfectly normal. He drove all over the place. He never got a DUI, but then he wouldn't remember the next day anything that he had done or said. He would call up and say, "Where was I last night? What was I doing?" It was horrifying to watch. So people can go for many hours and not have any recollection of what they did.
Is the mind recording things at that point in time? Or is it like it is blacked out? Like it's not necessarily repressed. It's just gone. It's just not there. It's like nobody put the tape in and pressed record. They pressed record, but there was no tape in there to be recording
onto. Exactly. One of my big, I have my little preachy areas, and excessive alcohol use is one of my areas, just because I've seen so many horror stories with, people waking up naked in bed with a stranger, having no idea who is this person and how did I get here? Mm-hmm. And, it's just, binge drinking and going into blackout states is just incredibly dangerous, awful. No good ever comes out of it. Yeah. Awful things happen.
Robin Drake, who's another contributor on the show the other day, had a great line about that, saying, "No one ever says, damn, if I would have only drinking a little bit more, things would have been so much better."
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.